The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went to the feast, according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and men. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much for your prayers, Neil. I'll also pray myself for all of us. Father God, be present with us and surround us with the knowledge of your love. Jesus Christ, Word of God, speak your truth through me, so that my words might be not mine but yours. Spirit of God, move our hearts to accept your teaching and be changed, moulded into your new creation. Amen. Well, another Christmas gone. Strange feeling, isn't it? It's such a busy season. All the shopping, preparations to be made, family commitments, catching up with friends, church services. They call it the most wonderful time of the year. And perhaps it is. It's also undoubtedly the busiest time of the year. But now, here we are on Boxing Day. And perhaps you've still got some things to do for Christmas. Maybe there are family members you haven't visited yet. But for many of us, it's a Sunday. We happen to have two public holidays coming up since both Christmas and Boxing Day fell on Saturday and Sunday. So we suddenly find ourselves free for a few days. We can go out and take advantage of the Boxing Day sales, or if we prefer, just sit at home in front of the TV, maybe watch some of the test match, I don't know, whatever takes our fancy. But it seems like we move on from Christmas quite quickly, don't we? We even have the New Year celebration to look forward to in less than a week. That's too. Time moves fast. But Jonathan, in our Christmas service yesterday, he made an interesting point. It wasn't even in his sermon, just in the notices he gave. Talking about our service today, he called it the first Sunday of the Christmas season. Let that sink in for a moment. Christmas isn't over. In fact, it's only just begun. Traditionally, the Christmas season is said to last for 12 days. That's from where we get the popular carol, The 12 Days of Christmas. But what happens when those 12 days are up? I had a look at the Uniting Church's lectionary calendar, which we often use as a resource for services and sermons. After 12 days, we have Epiphany, and that's the celebration of the Magi's arrival to give gifts to the Christ child. And that begins a season which we celebrate how Christ manifests to the world in events such as his baptism and transfiguration. That then takes us through to Lent, the period of fasting and remembering Jesus' life and ministry, which of course leads us to Easter and Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. The Easter season then lasts 50 days, taking us through Jesus' ascension to the giving of the Holy Spirit upon Pentecost, And then after Pentecost, we celebrate what Christ continues to do by his Spirit in the church today as we await the time that he comes again. And that brings us full circle around to Advent as we anticipate the coming of Christ, and once again we're back to Christmas. So you see, not only are we not yet done with Christmas, we will never be done with Christmas. All the year round we celebrate the miracle of the Incarnation, God becoming one of us. And at different times of the year we might traditionally celebrate different aspects of that, but it's the same Jesus Christ we worship, and we never stop. In today's scripture reading, we read of an event that happened when Jesus was 12 years old. And that's already a bit of a jump compared to yesterday, when Jesus was a newborn child, 12 years passing in one day. But it really is not so far removed. Yesterday, we celebrated the coming of the Son of God into the world. Today, we meditate on a different kind of birth. The moment Jesus first showed a sign, a real sign of who he was and what his purpose was. In his own words, he had to be in his Father's house. What does that mean? Well, the literal interpretation of his words is his Father's house is the temple where his parents found him. It makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus is the Son of God. And the temple in the Old Testament is called the house of God, where God himself lives. It's also a neat little contrast with his earthly father, Joseph, who along with his mother Mary is the one asking the questions, where have you been? Why have you treated us like this? And they were on their way home. They were going back to their house, Joseph's house. But Jesus wasn't interested in going back to his earthly father's house. He wanted to be at his heavenly Father's house. But that's not all there is to it. There's actually an alternative translation of the same verse that you'll find in some versions of the Bible and also sometimes in the notes you see at the bottom. It isn't that well known because the house translation fits so well. But nonetheless, the phrase sometimes gets translated as something like, I had to be about my Father's business. Now, that puts a new light on all of this. In this episode, Joseph's and Mary's panic question all along was the same. Where is Jesus? He wasn't with either of them. They realised he was missing. He wasn't with any of their friends or family. They went back to Jerusalem to look for him. And it was his location they were concerned with. They only rested when they found him, when he was with them. But the location specifically wasn't what Jesus was interested in. He wasn't just loitering about the temple, enjoying just being there. No, he got his hands dirty. He sat with the teachers, the same sorts of people he would challenge later in his life. He asked questions. He listened. He spoke with wisdom and understanding, the sort of which was way beyond you could expect from a 12-year-old. This was Jesus acting out of his divinity, not just mere humanity. He was getting into God's business, his Father's business. I want to take a bit of a diversion at this point and tell you a bit about my own experience with my Father's business, my earthly father. Many of you will know my dad. He used to be a part of this congregation. When I was a kid, my dad had a study, a room where he'd do all his work at home. Well, I say had, he still has one today. He works in software programming. Basically, his whole career has been working at various companies, designing and writing computer programs to help them run more smoothly. Now, when I was a kid, that was obviously way over my head. And I never really went into Dad's study all that much, unless I needed to use a printer for school homework or something. I wasn't all that into my father's business. As I got older, though, and understood a little more of what Dad was doing, I started to take a bit more of an interest. When I went to university, he was working in the city and we'd often catch the same bus together. And he'd tell me about what project he was working on. And then as part of my doctorate, I had to learn quite a bit of computer programming myself, and I quite enjoyed it. And that made the connection with my dad's work stronger, since we were doing the same sorts of things. We'd swap stories about what we were doing and how computers were different in the 80s when he was learning compared to today. And he'd give advice on some of the problems I was facing and what I was doing. Dad's semi-retired now, but he still does some freelance work for people he knows. A few weeks ago, I went round to Mum and Dad's place. I go there every week for dinner. And Dad was working on one particular computer program he was writing, an app actually, that he was plucking away at for weeks and was nearly done with. So he called me into his study, the same place I was never really interested in as a kid. And we spent probably more than an hour there until Mum got sick of waiting and dragged us both out to eat. But yeah, he was clicking around, showing me everything, how it all worked, while I watched and made comments and even a few suggestions. Maybe it would work a little bit better if you tried this, that sort of thing. After all this time, I was not just in my father's house or in his study in this instance, but I was really in there. I was getting involved. I was about his business. And that's the difference we have to see with Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He has all the power and glory and majesty of God in him. He has it now and he had it back then. But he wasn't content to just leave it at that. He really got into it and did his Father's will. He didn't have to. He could have chosen differently. He could have stayed in the temple and been disobedient to his earthly parents, not leaving, breaking the command to honour his father and mother, but instead he went with them and was obedient to them. The devil tempted him later in life for 40 days in the desert, and he responded to the devil's schemes with scripture, the word of God. Even when on the cross, he could have commanded legions of angels to deliver him, but instead, in the garden, he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." In the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2, he was in very nature God, but did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. All in obedience to his heavenly Father, from the beginning to today and forever, whether in the temple at the age of 12 or hanging on the cross, Jesus has always been in his Father's house and about his Father's business. This is a message we really need to hear in the Christmas season. We've just spent Christmas Eve and Christmas Day singing of Jesus' birth, even today. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Let us not forget that those same songs tell of why Jesus came, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. If we look around us at a largely secular world today, they largely view the event we celebrate and give so much weight to as a strange curiosity. Why celebrate the birth of a boy born 2,000 years ago? Why sing songs about him, or put on plays, or make mini nativity scenes? They seem like strange religious rituals in an era where Christmas for many is a commercial holiday, best known for packed shops and awkward family gatherings. If only the world knew the truth that Jesus is God made human flesh, who obeyed his Father's will, was put to death and rose again to deliver mankind for our sins. That is why we are celebrating. That is the meaning of Christmas, not just that a baby was born, but that that same baby lives today and lives forever to the glory of God the Father. I talked earlier about the lectionary calendar and how all through the year we're honouring Christ's incarnation and dwelling among us. And that is something we must do. We must honour this, not just with our words, but our spirits, our hearts, our whole being. It's so easy to drift unintentionally from this astounding and wonderful truth into the complacency and ritualism of the world around us. Whole churches can do it. Whole denominations can do it. Every individual can do it, yourself and I included. We're all susceptible. And the more we think we stand, the closer we may be to falling. Oh, we can be in our Father's house, the church. We can even be our Father's house, temples of the Holy Spirit. But if just being here is enough for us, we're missing what it really means to be in our Father's house, to be about his business, to be constantly thinking and talking and meditating on God's great plan of salvation through Jesus Christ for all the world and all creation, to be obedient to our Father's will and Christ's commands to love God, to love one another, our neighbours, and to go forth and preach the good news to all nations. That's the business of God. That's what goes on in the house of God. The question for us is, will we partake of it? The last verse of this reading tells us that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man. And that reminds us that for all his divinity and his special role ordained by God, Jesus was still like us in many ways. He was made of the same stuff we are. He was a boy and he grew up. He gained in wisdom, which is hard to comprehend of God, but very easy to understand when you consider he was a human child growing into a man. Of course he would gain in wisdom. And he also gained favour with other people and with God. This is Jesus in the fullness of his humanity. And still, in that humanity, just as much as his divinity, he was serving God with his whole being about his Father's business. Here's a question. When 12-year-old Jesus left the temple and went home with his parents, did he stop being in the house of God? Was he no longer in his Father's house because he wasn't in the temple anymore? I don't think so. He said it, he had to be in his Father's house. That truth didn't change just because he left Jerusalem and went back to his earthly home. Like I said earlier, location is not the important thing. No, he went home and continued to obey his Father and be about his business, even in small ways that might to us seem insignificant. But he gained favour with God. The Bible says so. Until the time came for him to begin his ministry. And the rest, as they say, is history. I want to finish up with a passage that I think parallels this story in many ways. It's from Matthew chapter 12, and it starts with Jesus' mother and brothers wanting to talk to him, interrupting him while he was teaching. Sounds a little bit like the story with Jesus' parents, doesn't it? They're looking for him, they don't understand he needs to be doing what his father wants. But this time Jesus doesn't go with them. Instead, he says, starting in verse 48, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Whoever does the will of his Father is his brother and sister. Whoever is in the Father's house and about the Father's business is a child of the Father just as Jesus is, a brother or a sister. So let us be the brothers and sisters of Christ that we ought to be, dwelling truly in our Father's house. Amen.